With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, just a couple of weeks ago, a little girl who was born completely deaf had her hearing restored after taking part in a groundbreaking gene therapy trial. It's such an amazing scientific breakthrough. And according to Dr. Niamh Shaw, there's loads more fascinating developments in science that we should know about. And she's here now to tell us more. Niamh, you're very welcome to the studio.
Looking forward to geeking out with you.
I am so excited about this because we've got so much to get through. And we've already been giddy off mic. So let's bring it on, Mike. Speaking of, I'm going to get you to move just a tiny bit closer to that microphone.
Is that good?
That's perfect, so everybody can hear you.
Yeah.
Niamh, can you just remind us, I just told people about that there, but can you remind us about the amazing story of the little girl who was deaf, having her hearing restored by gene therapy?
She was born deaf, and at 18 months of age, she was involved in a trial in the UK, and they basically used gene therapy to reconnect the nerve, the hearing nerve, so that she could hear again. 4 weeks later, she was able to hear sounds. Now, 24 weeks on, she's actually able to understand whispers.
Oh my
gosh. She can hear it. And you know, at 18 months, they're only learning to speak anyway, so she's not going to be impeded at all by being born deaf. And this therapy is, they reckon this is going to be very successful for everybody that has the same deficiency that she has, which is that the gene doesn't link up with the nerve, the hearing nerve. And if everybody has that, then this is going to work. So the trials look really good, really positive, isn't it?
This is like an unbelievable breakthrough. Yeah. And I know you were saying that you've been down a TikTok rabbit hole all the time of like different videos, but I know a lot of the ones I've seen are like babies who would wear cochlear implants for the very first time, and the joy that's on their face the very first time they hear something, it's just so sweet.
It's
and
amazing
to watch. But this is not a cochlear implant, this is gene therapy, and she's actually got her hearing back.
Yeah, and actually replaces the cochlear implants for this particular disorder.
Oh my gosh.
So isn't that fantastic?
It's so fantastic. It's so exciting as well.
Amazing.
Another scientific breakthrough that we want to talk about today is the Neuralink brain chip. Now tell me about this.
If this actually kind of reaches its full potential, this is a real game changer. So Neuralink is a company that was founded by Elon Musk. You know, he's got his finger in all sorts of future kind of ideas. And this is about bringing neuroscientists together to see if we can use computers to interface with our brains to help us kind of recover from some of the more kind of long-term injuries, like people who are paraplegic. So these people that have lost the ability to use their bodies because of a deficit in their spinal cord. Mm-hmm. So this guy, 30 years of age, he signed up to Neuralink. He's the very first person ever. And they put a chip in his brain and he's actually able to move the computer mouse on his computer just by thinking. It's not by looking. Like a lot of those previous sort of, abilities were that they had to learn how to, there was a camera on the computer that was able to make them see where their eyes were going. No, he's thinking and he's able to send emails. He's able to schedule meetings. He's able to play chess.
Play Mario Kart. Raised his father in a game of Mario Kart.
I know. Amazing. And he feels it's a real game changer because he had a swimming accident. So he wasn't born paraplegic or anything like that. So he's really happy. Now, he is the very first person.
Yes.
And there still is a long way to go. And 85% of the ability that they actually implanted with that chip is gone now. So 15% of it still allows him to move the mouse around and stuff with the chip. So when they continue with this research, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Very hopeful.
But this
very
I know that he's the very first person and there's still a lot of work to go. But like if this takes off and it works, this is life changing
for a lot of people.
Millions of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. So they're looking for volunteers, by the way, just so people know. If you go on the Neuralink website and you're interested in being involved, you can sign up. He's a big believer in it.
Yeah, amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the breakthrough with the moon that you think should make us all very hopeful?
Me being a space nut is, water, the story I was told and I was in school is that we're the only planet with water and we're the only system of planets around the sun. So the more we have more sophisticated instrumentation looking at planets and comets and moons, there is water on many of what we call celestial bodies. So the moon, we now know, is definitely present in the South Pole. And that means the reason why this is hopeful, it means that, we want to put people on the moon to understand how we can help people survive for long-term emissions so that we understand how to take better care of our planet. That's ultimately what we're all trying to do. And the hardest part is, how do you keep people hydrated? Because water is very heavy. So bringing it up in a rocket is always very difficult because it's so heavy. But if it's actually at the site where they're going researching, it makes things a lot easier. So not only on the moon, it's also on Mars. It's on lots of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn and comets and asteroids. So it tells us also that the likelihood that there is life out there beyond our solar system is more likely as well. Probably don't look like us,
no.
but the presence of water is a really positive thing, because that's been a big game changer in terms of our whole attitude about should we venture further? How do we keep humans alive if we send them off to space?
And this is the big thing, is like that now the conversation is open that people could one day actually live on the moon, because if there is a water source up there.
Yeah. Well, it's always going to be difficult because like air is everywhere, yeah. You know, the lack of oxygen is always going to be, but with water there, they can use a chemical reaction and actually produce oxygen, you know, so you'd have to live in a bubble or you'd have to live underground. It's never going to be as beautiful as Earth,
no.
But it's always worth having people go there to understand how lucky we are to have Earth. So,
also,
yeah.
I think it's about time that we finally get out of our heads and stop being so like cocky that we're the only things that exist.
We really aren't, you know, and we really aren't. We aren't the center of the universe, and we do have a tendency to think that.
We do. Mm. And actually, speaking of that, right, because
yeah.
Science has made new discoveries about animals.
Yes.
This one has blown my mind. I think it's so sweet that bees like to play.
Yeah, they play like little wooden balls. They kick around a little wooden ball together, you know.
Football for themselves.
Yeah. So a group of researchers that all believe that animals and insects have consciousness and that they can feel joy and that they can feel pain, they've all gathered and they've all compared notes about all different studies that they've conducted that give the same conclusion, is that animals are and insects are sentient beings in some shape or form. Now, they don't have our intelligence, but there's so many examples of it. You put a mirror in a fish tank and the cuttlefish eventually will think like that they're, you know, that they're the enemy and they'll start banging on the mirror. But then they realise like, oh, no, it's me. And one of them actually saw kind of a brown spot, which usually is a sign of a you know, a parasite.
Yeah.
And it's actually just like that they were born with it. So he actually tried to get rid of it. Another
Sorry,
one went
a fish.
A fish. And he went upside down. And so they started behaving differently. So they realised, no, they can actually see themselves in the mirror.
This is absolutely wild. Like, what other animals have we completely underestimated?
Oh, well, the crayfish is another type of fish. And they can, if you stress them out and you give them an anti-anxiety tablet, they actually calm down. So that means they definitely feel stress, right?
Yeah.
So if you give them an anti-anxiety medication and they and their behaviour change, that means that they do get stressed.
Stay away from the coffee.
Yeah, octopus are very intelligent. They actually react to anaesthetics, so they actually can go asleep if you give them an anaesthetic. So that means that they have awareness.
They also are very smart, aren't they? Where they won't go back to like a point where they've experienced pain or like a bad time, essentially.
Yeah, they're very, and they really do connect with humans. Like you talk to anybody who does any sort of scuba diving, they'll tell you.
Wasn't there only a story in the news last week of the octopus that was bringing the woman down to the ocean, like showing her something down there? It was like a shipwreckage, and it was like very proud of the moment. It was like, here you go. It was gold. It was like, oh, amazing. Jesus,
amazing, amazing. And zebrafish as well. Like if you put a new object into the tank, they'll be there looking at it, you know, curious. And anybody who owns a cat and a dog will tell you that they know that they have consciousness.
Oh, I am flat out talking about like my own dog's personality in particular. Like I am like, you're the smartest thing in the world. It's just how he reacts to things. Like reminding another little dog at the minute that he's no interest in, and he's usually like this genuinely sighing at me like, when is she going to leave? Why is she still here in our space? It's amazing. But look, the fact that we know this about animals, like why is this supposed to give us hope?
Well, it gives us hope because that connection that we genuinely feel, like it's like a lot of people would have said to us before that we put these we kind of anthropomorphize, which mm-hmm. we humanize animals, but now it's showing you that no, they do have feelings. They can feel joy, they can feel pain. So that connection that we have, it isn't one-sided. Now we know this already with dogs, because dogs release the cuddle drug oxytocin. When you look at a dog and a dog looks at you, you both get a release of the cuddle drug oxytocin. So we know that. But it's not just dogs, it's all animals, including insects as well. And so what that means is that we're all connected. And you know, this idea that, you know, we're all part of this of this planet, and we're not unique as yeah. we feel. And I think that's a really good thing. And anybody that loves animals, they know this anyway, and it just reinforces this idea. And that we probably do have to think more about our humane controls and things about taking care of animals. You know?
I'm smiling from ear to ear because the fact that this is all backed by science, you have no idea. The next family gathering at my uncle's when I am treating my dog as a baby, I'll be like, well, let me tell you, Dr. Neve Shaw said.
Exactly, exactly.
We're not just talking about humans and animals though today though. Like, what is the story with plants being a lot smarter than we think?
Oh, it's incredible. You know, they have an infrastructure where they're all communicating all the time. So there's lots of root systems. So you'll have, like, say, an avenue of trees. You know, I always think of the trees there on one of the avenue there on the north side. I'm half asleep. Begins with the letter G. What's the name of the...
Oh, not a breeze. I'm from Galway. Let's just talk about Phoenix Park. Yeah.
Phoenix Park, yes.
Griffith Avenue.
Yeah. That's it, Griffith Avenue. So even though you just get... So if one of those trees on the top of the avenue gets sick by the third or the fourth tree, that disease will have spread. But actually, they'll have figured out how to get better by the end of the line. There's a whole structure of root systems where they help each other, and families of trees give each other nutrients. Fungus have a whole kind of infrastructure under the roots, and they take in water, oxygen, and carbon, and they're delivering it across the trees as well. So they're all communicating.
So like, this is trees and plants.
And then also there's been beautiful kind of art pieces where they have attached a kind of an electrical field to plants, and they've kind of put it into a sound system. They've denoted music for different sounds. You put a bunch of plants together and they will become tonally the same. So initially, when you put plants together and you plug in them into a sound system, they go, wah, 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 they all sound different. And then they'll be like,
stop it.
Yeah, and then when you wash them, they'll go, they go up, and if you touch them, they go, it's incredible. They're in the Chelsea Flower Show, they're always doing things like that, and Glastonbury at all the festivals, that they'll show you. But you have to spend a few days to get them all kind of in the same, to be calm, and then they'll all harmonise.
To be honest, it sounds like a radio show. You know, it's if we put everyone in a room together, it's not going to work immediately, but you know, give them some time and then everything goes in harmony. Oh my God, this is made by Monday. Like, I'm off to a flying start now for the week. I'm absolutely buzzing. We have covered water on the moon, brain trips, trees talking to each other. Dr. Neve Shaw, thank you so much for coming in with us this morning.
Delighted to talk science with you anytime. 2FM.